It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Our study is in the book of John, and we're in chapter 11 right now. And last time, we talked about a person who had died. And we also talked about his sisters, Mary and Martha. Well, the man who had died, of course, was Lazarus. And we go back and we study chapter 11, and we read of how Martha went to meet Jesus. She went there, and Jesus told her, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." She said that she believed in the resurrection in the last time, but Jesus said right then that he was the resurrection and the life. He was the one who was able to raise people. In other words, is what he's saying. He is the resurrection and the life. When we read how that Mary stayed in the house, she did not come out. And I made mention that I do not believe she was doing this because she was in rebellion or she didn't like Jesus. Remember, Jesus loved these people and they loved him. I do not believe Mary stayed in that house in rebellion against Jesus. I believe she didn't know he was there at that time, because we read how that Mary was approached by Martha. Martha went to her and told her that Jesus was there then. And it says that she left, she would go out secretly. Well, it was not secret enough because the people saw her leaving. And in verse 28 of John chapter 11, it says, "And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master has come and calleth for thee. She went to her." I don't know if she whispered to her. I don't know how she did that. But it says she went secretly to her. And as soon as she heard that, in other words, that she heard that Jesus was there, she arose quickly and came unto him. Verse 30. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. Martha had gone to meet him, evidently, someplace other than the house where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus had lived. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, "She goeth unto the grave to weep there." I made mention in an earlier study, in chapter 11, how that Jesus delayed his arrival at Bethany. I believe it was for several different reasons. One of the reasons, I believe, was to give people enough time to get there for their mourning with Mary and Martha. He gave them enough time to be there. And remember, Jesus wanted to preach to everybody. He wanted as many people as possible to know that he was the way, the truth, and the life, that he was the Savior. So I believe he delayed his coming there so that more people could be present, so that he could let them see what he was about to do, that he is the resurrection and the life. Verse 32 of John 11 says, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." She believed Jesus was the one who could heal the sick and raise the dead. She believed this. Verse 33 says, "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled." Jesus is troubled when people mourn. Jesus, he doesn't want to see people mourn. He's hurt. He has empathy, if I could use that term. And it's actually more than empathy. I believe that Jesus, as he was there, the Bible says that Jesus would weep on occasion. But notice he was groaning in the spirit and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Now, Jesus wept. There's no doubt that as we look at Jesus Christ, we see the human here. We see how that Jesus was weeping over the person who had gone. Now, I do not believe he was weeping over Lazarus. I believe he was weeping for several reasons here. he was weeping with these people, sharing their sorrow, sharing Mary and Martha's sorrow as Lazarus had died. But it goes beyond that Jesus was a human being. He was the one who could feel the feelings of those people around him, because as a human, he could share those feelings. Now, he was also God, and as God, he was about to do something that no other person on this earth could do. He was about to help these women with their grief in such a way that, we pray for these things today to take place in the people around us and with their lives. We pray for this to take place. We know it's not going to take place right now, but it will one day, that people who trust Jesus Christ will have something special happening to them that's happened to Lazarus here, only more so. Well, Jesus wept in verse 35. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." Well, there's no doubt in my mind that Jesus loved Lazarus. But he was weeping. I believe that Jesus was weeping because of unbelief. Some of these people did not believe in Jesus Christ. They did not know him as Savior. And Jesus knew this. And he was weeping. And I believe as he was weeping, he was praying, "God, help these people to believe that I am the resurrection and the life." Verse 37, "And some of them said, 'Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?'" Well, there's evidently some people there who had seen some of the miracles that Jesus had done. And some of these people actually knew that he was from God, that he was the Savior. But I remind you, there would also be those people there who had never trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Maybe they had not seen the miracles that he had done. Verse 38, "Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself," he knew that there was people there who had unbelief. He was groaning in himself. "He cometh to the grave." It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Doesn't this remind you of our Lord's burial? How that he was buried in a tomb in a cave, and that there was a stone rolled in front of it? And how that after 3 days and three nights, he would come out of that grave, he would come out of that tomb, and he would be alive to live forevermore. Now we know, once again, that he's God, but he was also human, and the human would live forevermore, not in the same body. His body would also be changed. And we one day, our bodies are going to be changed, fashioned like that of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, notice in verse 39 now, Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." The stone was in front of the tomb, blocking the door. "Mary, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, 'Lord, by this time he stinketh.'" Remember, he had been dead for 4 days. We keep reading here, and we see something miraculous taking place here. Verse 40, "Jesus saith unto her, 'Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?'" Now, they're waiting. Now, something's going to take place here, and he's telling this sister, that "Didn't I tell you this, that the glory of God is going to be seen here?" "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me.'" Jesus Christ came to do the work of the Father. Jesus Christ came to glorify the Father. So what did he do? He prayed to the Father. And we need to pray to the Father today as saved people. Do we want to see things done in our lives that's going to glorify God? The first thing we need to do is start praying to the Father, and telling him how great he is, telling him that he is the creator of all things, that he is the sustainer of life. He is the one altogether lovely. God the Father, we need to glorify him. And we do that through Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the one who takes our prayers to the Heavenly Father. He is the one that takes those deepest, heartfelt things that we have. He takes those things that we have on our hearts. He takes those things to God the Father. Well, he said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me." Jesus Christ had already been praying. In verse 42, "And I knew that thou hearest me always." Jesus is still talking to the Father. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus had already prayed. He had already been in contact with the Heavenly Father. But he said these words that those people who were standing by knew that he had been talking to God the Father. They needed to know that his Heavenly Father was the one who was about to do something miraculous here, because it was God the Father who would do this. Verse 43, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him, and let him go. Well, these people, no doubt some of them may have run away. I don't know. Some of them possibly were so scared they probably didn't even believe what was going on here. But some of them, I believe, probably ran away because they were afraid. But notice that Jesus had performed a miracle by God the Father. He had prayed to God that God would answer his prayer, that God would raise Lazarus from the dead. Verse 45, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. There's the key. There's what took place. That is why Jesus, I believe, hesitated his coming, so that more people could be there to hear and to see the things of God that was performed on that day that Lazarus came forth out of that grave. In verse 46, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Remember, we've talked about this, how that some believe and some do not believe, how that today some believe and some do not believe. We see the miracle of the new birth. We see that. And even as a Christian, do we really take that to heart, knowing that that person whom we see received Jesus Christ as Savior, do we really believe that we can take that same message that we, well, let's say we hear it in the church, in the place where we go to worship, in the place where the plan of salvation is given, do we really believe that when that person gets saved, that we can take the word out and we can give it to other people so they too can be saved? Do we really believe that? Well, we talk about the unsaved not believing, but what about a Christian? What about that saved person who does not take enough time to pray for that lost person who needs to be saved? Well, Jesus took time to pray to the Heavenly Father. He prayed, I believe, for the resurrection of Lazarus here. And he also prayed, I believe, for people to be saved, for people to believe when they saw the miracle done, Lazarus rising from the dead. And I believe that you and I need to take to heart today what Jesus had done here. He prayed to the Father. He asked God the Father to do certain things. And one of those things was to help people to believe that he is the Savior of the world, that he is the Messiah, that he is Christ. Do you know him today as your Savior? Then, if you do not, you need to trust him right now, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means you do not measure up. There's something missing, and that something missing is Jesus Christ in your life, in your heart. You must realize you're a sinner, admit it, admit that you can't save yourself, that it's God who can save you today. It was Jesus Christ, it was God who raised Lazarus, and it's Jesus Christ who can raise you. Give you a new body one of these days. He gives you eternal life right now if you'll just trust him. Ask him to come into your heart. Trust him today as Lord and Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org, or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.